Today's reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the seal and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, What a waste of perfume. It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why berate her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want. But I will not be here much longer. She has done what she could and has anointed my body ahead of time of burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and praised. This is the word of the Lord.
Steve, would you like to come and join me over here? And you can preach anywhere, wherever you feel most comfortable, up high, down low, walking amongst us, wherever you'd like to do, Steve. I'm just going to pray for you. And thank you again for being here and allowing us to have a day, really, with you and in anticipation of tonight as well. So I'm just going to pray for you. Yes. Lord God, we really want to pray for Steve. I've had the privilege of knowing him for a while, but for others, it's the first time they've met him. And so we pray, Lord, for that wonderful way that you move amongst us to really speak to us from those of us who are brothers and sisters, even though we've never met them before. So we thank you, Lord, for the way that you've walked through with Stephen and his family through highs and lows and ups and downs and all kinds of different seasons in life, for the sense of the gospel that you've grown in him. And we pray, Lord, that you just give us the ears to hear and the eyes to see and the hearts to feel and the feet to be moved with what Steve brings us today. Bless him and anoint him, we pray, for your good purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Great. Thank you very much for such a lovely warm welcome this morning, and great to be with you. Tonight, I thought I would do something a little bit more casual and relaxed, a little bit more laid back. This morning's going to be a little bit more structured. But first of all, I bring greetings to my wife, Louise. We're moving house on Wednesday. Normally, she would be with me, but she's busy packing, and I think I got the better deal. I get to preach, she gets to pack. However, I haven't preached for a couple of months, so I'm still packing it, actually. So I absolutely love your theme of the table. I've been listening to the last couple of weeks and really enjoyed John's sermons. And this scripture that we're looking at this morning, Mark chapter 14, is just a wonderful portion of scripture. And I just love how Jesus approaches this situation. The context is he's at the home of Simon the leper, and while he's there, a lady kind of gay crashes the party. And the religious people gathered around that table are relentless in their judgment and harshness and their criticism of this woman. That's what religion is like. Religion tends to be judgmental, it tends to be harsh, and it tends to be critical, particularly to those that whose lives are a little bit messed up. But Jesus, in response, says something quite beautiful. He says, leave her alone. Give her a break. Come on, just go easy on her. And we see Jesus in response to the harshness and the criticism and the judgment and the alienation of the religious people that are gathered around this table. We see Jesus responding with this beautiful spirit of kindness. When I was an 18-year-old, and a long time ago now, one of my work colleagues, Silvana, became a Christian. And Silvana and I would sit at our work desks, and during our lunch breaks, we would sit in the lunchroom at the table. And Silvana would tell me about this Jesus that she'd encountered. And I felt fairly safe and immune to the gospel because, I was quite a hedonistic young man, was really into sex, drugs, and rock and roll in a big way, lived a fairly wild life. lifestyle. And as far as I was concerned at that time, God didn't want anything to do with people like me. As far as I'd been told and what had been communicated to me as a young person growing up is that people like me were an abomination who deserved nothing other than the condemnation of God. But I love talking to Silvana. And so I would find myself coming into work a little bit early and we'd hang around and we'd chat. And one day Silvana said something really radical to me. And she said, "Steve, I've been thinking about this. And I reckon God even loves people like you." Now, I think back to that, and it was actually quite a condescending statement, but back then it was actually life-giving and life-transforming. I had no idea that God could actually love someone as wild and as hedonistic as myself. And that little phrase of kindness was the catalyst that turned my life around. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it tells us that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And one of the things about the table of Jesus, this table of kindness, when we allow ourselves to be shaped by Him and allow His kindness to wash over us, we will become less judgmental. We will become less harsh. We will become less critical, and we will become more kind towards others. And this morning what I want us to do is just take a look at the kind of people that Jesus invites us to be kind to. If we're sitting at the table of Jesus and we're allowing His kindness to wash over us, then it's going to manifest itself in certain ways. The first group of people that Jesus wants us to be kind to is those that are close to us. I believe that kindness begins with those who make up our inner circle, our spouse, our partner, our kids, our friends, our colleagues at work, and those that are within our church community. There's a psychologist by the name of John Gottman who spent 40 years studying thousands of couples to figure out what makes relationships work. And this psychologist, John Gottman, can predict with up to 94% certainty whether a couple will break up or stay together, whether their relationship will be happy or unhappy. And he discovered that relational success comes down to one key thing. And that is whether couples are kind towards one another. Kindness is the most significant predictor of satisfaction and stability in close, intimate relationships. And what John Gottman says is kindness is like glue which holds people together. So my question for you this morning is, who in your inner circle do you need to cultivate kindness towards? The second group of people that Jesus wants us to be kind to is to strangers. And Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, it says, "Don't forget to extend your hospitality to all, even to strangers. For as you know, some have unknowingly shown kindness to angels in this way." When asked by the BBC to identify the defining moment in his life, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, the great South African church leader and statesman, spoke of the day he and his mother were walking down the street and a tall white man dressed in a black suit came towards them. Little Desmond was 9 years old at the time, and the apartheid system was entrenched within South African society. And under apartheid, when a black person and a white person met on a footpath, the black person was expected to step aside to allow the, the white person to pass first, and they would nod their head as a gesture of respect. I can't believe that actually happened in my lifetime. So disturbing. But this day, before Desmond and his mother could step off the pavement, the white man stepped aside and he tipped his hat to Desmond and his mother. And that white man was Trevor Huddleston, an Anglican priest who was bitterly opposed to apartheid. And that moment changed Desmond's life. And when his mother explained that Trevor Huddleston was a man of God, Tutu in that moment found his life calling. And he told the BBC, he said, "When she told me that he was an Anglican priest, I decided there and then that I wanted to be an Anglican priest too. And what is more, I wanted to be a man of God." You know what? We can never know the impact of an act of kindness towards a stranger. And if we're sitting at the table of Jesus and we're experiencing his kindness, it's going to work something within our heart that not only do we express kindness to those who are closest to us, but we will express that kindness also to those who are strangers to us. The third group of people that Jesus wants us to be kind to is to the poor. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and God will repay back what he has given." Do we have any Tony Campolo fans? No? Oh my gosh, if you haven't read Tony Campolo, you must read Tony Campolo. He's one of my great, I find him wonderfully inspirational. Well, Tony Campolo tells the story of a friend of his called Claire, who was a Presbyterian minister. And she was a minister in Bel Air in California. And those of you would know that Bel Air is the home to the movie stars and the celebrities and the ultra wealthy. And in Bel Air, there is a department store called Nordstrom's. And each Christmas, Claire would get a Nordstrom's shopping bag and fill it with tissue paper to make it look like she's shopping there. But in reality, she's a poor pastor, so she's not paid all that well. Because it's so expensive, she just can't afford to shop there, but she likes the ambience and the Christmas feel of Nordstrom's. And now, one time on one of her trips, the Christmas trips to Nordstrom's, Claire was on the floor where some of the most expensive dresses in the world are sold. And as she's wandering around browsing, she notices a destitute lady there. Now, Claire expects a security guard to come and gently escort this woman out of the store, because she's certainly not the kind of person one would expect to see at this high, affluent store. But instead of a security guard, this very tall, stately woman went up to the homeless woman and asked, "Can I help you, madam?" The woman said in a gruff voice, "Yeah, I want a dress." That's my interpretation of a very destitute woman's gruff voice. Very convincing, isn't it? And this saleswoman said, "Well, what kind of dress would you like, madam?" "Oh, a party dress," was the answer. "Well, you've come to the right place. We have the finest dresses in the world." And so the two women looked over the dresses, and they talked about which color would suit the homeless woman's hair and eyes. And after a 10-minute discussion, they picked two dresses off the rack. Then the saleswoman said, "Follow me, madam. I want you to try on these dresses to see how you look in each of them." Now, this lady, Claire, the pastor, was flabbergasted. And she knew that the saleswoman must have realized that this homeless woman didn't have the money to buy either of the dresses. So when the two women went into the dressing room to try on the dresses, Claire couldn't resist the temptation. And she snuck into the dressing room next to them, and she was listening in on their conversation. And after a while, she heard the homeless woman say, "I've changed my mind. I'm not going to buy a dress today." And the saleswoman answered, "Well, that's quite all right, madam, but I'd like you to take my card. Should you ever return to Nordstrom, I would consider it a privilege and a pleasure to wait on you again." Claire was absolutely bamboozled by what she had witnessed. And so she went over to the sales lady, and as she got closer, she realized what had prompted her to treat this woman with such dignity and with such kindness. On this saleswoman's blouse was a little pin with four letters on it. WWJD. What would Jesus do? See, that sales lady had figured that Jesus would have treated the homeless woman with kindness. The fourth group of people that need our kindness, that Jesus wants us to be kind to, is to our enemies. This is pretty tough, this one. Luke 6:35, Jesus says, "Love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons and daughters of the highest. For God is kind to the unthankful and evil." Just before I got married, I was in Bible school, and I got a job to help pay for my wedding, and I got a job working in a place, in a factory, making screen doors. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I am the most, let's just say, I'm not very handy. For our first Christmas, my parents bought my wife, Louise, a toolbox, because they knew she wasn't going to get any help from me. Anyway, I've got this job working in a factory making screen doors, and I was hopeless at it. But the problem was, I had a foreman who, I'm sure, he came to work each day trying to think of ways on how he could make my day as miserable as possible. And this guy was really, really, he was not a nice man. And anyway, my last day in this factory before I was getting married, and I'm having a conversation kind of partly with myself and partly with God, and I'm saying, "Oh, if I'd worked in this place for 5 years, I would not invite this man to my wedding. No way. He's such a horrible, horrible person. If I worked in this place for 10 years, there's no way that I would invite this man to my wedding. There's no way. We just wouldn't get an invite. He's so horrible. He's made my life an absolute misery." I'm just kind of in my head, kind of, "God, if I worked in this place for 20 years, there's no way that I'd invite this man to my wedding." And out of the blue, I heard a voice speak to me. And I'm saying, "I would never invite this man to my wedding." And this voice, which I can only assume is God's, because it's not something that I could conjure or create in and of myself, "I'm never going to invite him to my wedding." And this voice said to me, "That's funny. I've invited him to mine." You see, there is a wedding feast, a wedding banquet that every single person on the planet has been invited to. They're welcome to attend, whether they're good or bad. Whether they're friends of God or not, everyone is invited to attend that wedding banquet. God is kind to his enemies, and we need to be kind too. I know some of you are going to come up afterwards and ask me, "Did I invite this man to my wedding?" No, I didn't. And finally, Jesus wants us to be kind to ourselves. You know, some of us can be kind to everybody. We can be kind to our spouse and our partners and our kids and the people we work with and people in church. We're kind to strangers. We're kind to the poor. We're even kind to our enemies. But sometimes we're not particularly kind to us. We do and say good to others, but neglect to be kind to ourselves. And one of the lessons that we have to learn is that we are not to be so judgmental, harsh, and critical of ourselves. And if we're sitting at the table of Jesus, this table of kindness, we've got to learn to receive kindness from Him for ourselves. In Matthew 11, 30, and this was one of the words, some of the scripture that was from one of our songs today. Matthew 11, 30 says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And that little word there, easy, is actually the word in the original language of the New Testament, is the word kind. My yoke is kind. A yoke is a wooden brace that joins two oxen. And our lives have been yoked together with the life of Christ. We are co-joined. We are partners in this life together with Jesus. It's the most wonderful, wonderful truth. One of the things about harnessing oxen together is that what they would normally do is take an older, stronger, mature ox and partner it up with a young, weaker ox. And the older ox, the strong ox, would carry all the weight. And the young ox isn't bearing the same level of burden. Thinks he is, but he's not really, or she isn't. You know, in our relationship with God, that's what it's like. We are weak. We have limitations. But our life has been joined together with the very life of Christ, and He carries us and sees us through. He carries the bulk of the weight. And I just want to let you know this morning, actually, God has very realistic expectations of you. So just go easy on yourself. A man by the name of Henry James says, and finishing on this point, three things in human life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. I want to encourage you, spend time at the table of Jesus. It's a place where you will not receive judgment. It's a place where you will not receive criticism or condemnation. It's a place where you will receive kindness. And in receiving that kindness, the anticipation of Jesus is that you will go out and you will share that kindness with others. The Dalai Lama said quite a profound thing, and I agree with him on this. He said, "My religion is kindness." If I was to define the ministry and the life of Jesus in a single word, it would be kindness. And Jesus also said, "Your Father in heaven is kind, you be kind." And so that's my exhortation to you today. Sit at the table of kindness, let it get into the very fabric of who you are, and then go and manifest that in your relationship with others.